We're here to hear from God, to receive from God. Our world has been changing over the last 2 weeks in ways that's been hard for us to even imagine. But here we are. And if we are here, then He is here. Where we're gathered in His name, you today are gathered in your homes. But I pray you're gathered there in the name of Jesus. There's a handful of us here today to make all of this happen, and we have gathered in the name of Jesus. And we're believing God and praying for all of our church family, for people throughout this land today, our state, our immediate community, and our nation, asking God to minister, to keep, and to heal. I want to talk to you for a little bit this morning out of the book of Acts, chapter 27, verse number 25. Acts 27 and 25. I hope you have your Bible there with you wherever you're watching this. Go there with me, Acts 27, verse 25. These are the words of Paul the Apostle, and they are food for our soul this morning. Acts 27, verse number 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Oh, let's pray about this. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity we have when we cannot assemble together in one place, that spiritually we're together. Lord, we give you praise that your word is going forth, and we are believing that it's going to be received and that you'll talk to us through this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the account, of course, in Acts 27 and 28 of Paul's shipwreck on the way to Rome. And I didn't stutter when I said that. It was a shipwreck. The same Christ that was on the boat with the disciples, the same one that calmed the sea for them, the same Christ that stepped out on the bow of the boat and said, "Peace be still," was on board with Paul. He lived in the Apostle Paul by the Holy Ghost. But the immediate outcome looked very different. The same Christ was there. The same presence was there. And his power had not lessened. It's the same Jesus that had said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He's the same one that had power over the sea, power over the storm, power over all of the elements, was on board with Paul, the same one who was on board with the disciples. But the outcome, different. For the disciples, as you know, he calmed the sea. But here, Paul is going to endure a shipwreck. He's going to endure a storm that's not going to seem to want to let up. And he's going to end up in the sea as all of the other passengers floating and drifting to the shore. But Jesus will no less, or will have no less power and no less authority, even though the immediate outcome looked different. He's still Lord. He's still Lord. The winds and the seas still obey him, even if, in the case of Paul, he didn't choose to step out on the boat and shut it all down. This world today, I don't have to tell you, is in a storm. Our communities are facing a storm. Our country is facing a storm. One of the chief infectious disease specialists at the University of Alabama Hospital in Birmingham used those exact terms to describe the pandemic that we're now in the midst of. On the 13th of March, he said, "The state of Alabama," which is where we are, "the state of Alabama is about to be hit by a major storm." a major storm. He couched this pandemic in those terms. But if you today are a child of God, the same Jesus that was with the disciples and the same Christ that was with Paul is with you. We may be in unprecedented territory, at least as far as we're concerned. But none of this has taken God by surprise. None of this causes him to shake with fear or to wring his hands or wonder what he's going to do. The fact is, we are here facing many ill winds. This thing causing many ill winds, financial ill winds, the howling gales of fear and dread, the apprehension of all of the what ifs. Well, what if this happens? What if the market continues to go down? They're using words like depression now instead of recession, that things are going to get so bad that some businesses are not going to recover from it. We're looking and feeling ill winds of sickness and disease. It seems to be bringing out the best and the worst in people in many cases. This is what we see on the news headlines. This is what we hear as we talk to other people concerned about where we are in this moment of time. But the Word of God stands sure this morning. The Word of God is still the foundational truth for our lives. We've been encouraged and even mandated here to adopt social distancing, with some states being given orders to shelter in place. And today I'm preaching this message to you online because, as we prayerfully saw it, wisdom dictated that at the present time we should not physically gather together. But there is no distance between us and Jesus. There is no wall that separates us from the Lord. That wall of partition has been torn down. The veil in the temple that kept God in and us out has been removed. And God Almighty has come out of there to be known of men and women and to be experienced. Hallelujah. No distance between us and the Lord. We're distancing ourselves, necessarily so, in most cases, from other people. Many of you are in your homes now, and you've not really ventured out of your homes. You're there. You've stocked up on what you need to make it for a few days. But the thing that you need most is Christ. It's the presence of the Lord. Wherever you are, wherever this falls, wherever you find yourself this morning, you need the presence of Christ. No separation between us and the Lord. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Amen. If God has a controversy with us this morning, let's repent of it. Let's put it under the blood. Let's get rid of it so that there'll be no separation. Jesus bore it for us on the cross when he cried out, "My God, God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He bore in that awful moment of time all of the separation of the world, the separation between us and God. He bore every ounce of that, every part of it. And now all of us who are accepted in the Beloved, all of us who are in Christ this morning, we need not experience any separation between ourselves and God. It's a time for closeness with God. It's a time for intimacy with heaven. It's a time to move in, to draw near, and to receive from the heart of God. Amen. It's a time of preparation this morning. And with all of the technology at our fingertips today, we are truly not separated. Most importantly, I am in Jesus. You are in Jesus. Jesus, so we are one. As you sit in your home today and listen to this, I stand here in this church sanctuary. We are one in Jesus Christ. We're together in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a part of the family of God. We're a part of the community of faith. Hallelujah. We're a part of the communion of the saints of God. Thank you, Lord. We can feel one another's love. And most importantly, we can feel one another's prayers. Pray one for another, he said. Confess your faults, your offenses one to another. Pray one for another that you might be healed. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. We are not distanced from each other in the sense of being in the body of Christ. We need each other. We need each other's prayers today more than we ever have. Thanks be to God. Something happens when people pray. I said something happens when you touch God for me and I touch God for you. There's something that is released. There's something that shifts. And it's time for the people of God to begin to seek God, to pour their hearts out to Him in prayer, to receive from heaven in an altar again, to press in to receive that only God Almighty can give. See, folks, this was not the trip to Rome that Paul had planned. This coronavirus, COVID-19, has upset the plans of a lot of people. A lot of people, the few of us that are here right now to get all of this together. We were talking before this service began about that fact that a lot of people have had to change their plans. Some plans they've had for years. Some plans, weddings and vacations and things like that, plans have been interrupted by this. This was not the trip to Rome that Paul had planned. He wanted to preach the gospel in Rome, but the will of God dictated that he go there in chains. The will of God dictated that he go there in a place and in a moment of what was discomfort, at least for his flesh. What we are seeing now is not what any of us have planned, but folks, we can trust ourselves to God's sovereign grace. It may not be where we wanted to be standing. It may not be where we'd like to be sitting in this moment. Our lives may not look like what we envision, but we can trust ourselves to God Almighty sovereign grace. Oh, listen, we can serve Him here. We can believe Him here. We can worship Him here. We can trust Him here. And if we cannot do that, then what we say we have, we really don't have. We can touch God when there's a pandemic going on about us. We can believe Him when everything we hear is negative. The words of Paul can be ours too. Sir, I believe God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're living this morning by liberty. We're not living by law. I'm talking about Old Covenant, Old Testament law. We're living by the perfect law of liberty in Christ Jesus. But let's be honest about it this morning. God's will has become the law for us. We chose that. We delight in His will, the will of God. People talk about we're under grace, we're not under the law, and that's absolutely right. But if you're really under grace this morning, then the will of God in your life daily has become a law for you. The will of God has become that dictates what you do, that dictates what you desire, what you want to be, what your life turns into. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm thankful for the will of God this morning. I'm thankful that we can stand in the center of the perfect will of God. And even though there are things we might not have chosen, even though there are journeys we might not have wanted to take, at least not the way they panned out, still the will of God is the place for us. All the supply of heaven we'll find as we stand in the will of God. All that we need will be provided as we stand in the will of God. Hallelujah. Paul, he's going to Rome. But he's going as a prisoner. He's going there to have his case heard before the court of Caesar. And if you've read the book of Acts, you'll know all of this. He's left Caesarea where he's been a prisoner for 2 years, going to Rome, and now the trip occurs here in the 27th chapter and 28th of Acts. They had one ship, which was a coasting vessel that was associated with Adramidium, which was a small area way up on the northwestern corner of Asia Minor. All of this going in that one ship, they're going to change as they go. But all of this led to a perilous journey. I'm not going to take time this morning to take you through all of the twists and turns of what Paul encountered as they sailed for Rome. But suffice it to say, they ended up in the midst of the Adriatic Sea for days. And the Bible even declares that they lost all hope of being saved alive. There's no way we're going to survive. The storm is so bad. We're drifting here. That's all we can do. It was really the equivalent for you and I living in our part of the world to understand it. It was really the equivalent of braving the sea during a hurricane. This is where they are. This was not a little thundercloud. It was a storm of storms. But as Paul was among those fearing passengers, he recognized there's somebody else on board. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Acts 27 and 23, this is what he said. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Well, now, Paul, Jesus calmed the sea for the disciples. Doesn't matter. With me is the presence of heaven. With me is the angel of God. The angel of the Lord stood by him. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. The Lord gave Paul the encouragement and the confirmation that Paul was his, and that even there on the ship that was going down, he was serving Christ. Listen to the words he used. The angel of God, there stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am. I belong to God and whom I serve. God gave Paul this knowledge, this encouragement. He said, in essence, Paul, even here in the midst of a ship that's tossed to and fro, even here in the midst of a storm, you belong to me. Oh, you sit at home today. I hope to heaven that you can say that. I hope you know that. Sitting there in your living room, not able to be at the house of God, I hope you can say, I belong to God. I'm here. I'm in this self-distancing, this social distancing. I'm in this voluntary quarantine situation, but I belong to God. I don't belong to the county. I don't belong to the state of Alabama. I don't belong to the United States of America. I appreciate civic leaders who do a good job, but I belong to God. I'm a citizen of heaven. My citizenship is not just here. It's on streets of gold. Thank God forevermore. I come from a land and I'm headed to a land where no pandemics ever exist, where there's no virus, there's no fear. Oh, hallelujah to God. I'm saying to you, you've got to know that you belong to him. You've got to know that you're his, and you've got to know that even here and even now we're serving him. Pastor, why are you in that church today? I'm serving the Lord. Why are you in your home this morning looking at your phone or your tablet or your computer watching this live stream? Because you're serving the Lord. I'm not just a Christian here when everything's all right. I'm a Christian every day. I've got to be that. Amen. I said, we've got to be that. We're serving him here. Daniel served him in the den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego served him in the burning fiery furnace. Paul served him in a shipwreck. It doesn't matter where you are. It is not the place. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of heaven poured out into your life. And God will give us the encouragement we need. If we press in to abide in him, I believe we'll hear the same message that Paul heard. I believe we'll hear God say to us, yes, you are mine. You are mine. Isn't it wonderful when the world is running around not knowing what to do that you and I realize deep in our heart of hearts we are kept by an unseen hand? Isn't it amazing to know that we're kept by the power of God, as Peter told us, when a world doesn't know what to do, when all a world can do is shut down, when it's affecting everything, sir, you are kept by the hand of God. Oh, you've got to know it this morning. You worried about the economy. You worried about your bank account. You worried about your future. You've got to know that you're kept by the power of God, and God will keep us. You talk about an insurance policy, sir, the keeping sovereign grace and power of God Almighty is the best insurance policy that any of us can have on the face of this earth. He'll give us the encouragement. He'll tell us, you belong to me. You're mine. Well, what if I get sick? Don't change anything. God will say to us, you're mine. Well, what if I go through trouble? What if I lose this? What if I lose that? What if what I thought would happen doesn't happen? Doesn't change anything. God will say, you belong to me. Hallelujah. And even here, he'll say to us, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Well, Lord, everything's changed. I'm not even able to be in the house of God today, is using wisdom, joining in at home. Everything's changed. There's runs on the store running out of goods. Everything has changed in the space of 2 weeks. But oh, God will say, no, no. From heaven's perspective, nothing has changed. You're still mine. You still belong to me. And you're still serving me. You're still my servant. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just want to worship him. I just want to praise him because we have hope. I want to praise him because we have the stability of faith. Thank you, Lord. I want to praise him because we've got a sure foundation and we didn't have to lay a new foundation. Let me tell you, when coronavirus hit our society and the news reports hit the airwaves, we didn't have to lay a new foundation. All we had to do, stay where he put us. All we had to do is stand on the rock that is Christ. We need not fear. We need not come to despair. What we have will work, and it'll work in this hour in which we find ourselves. Paul said, the angel of the Lord stood by me this night. I'm telling you, I believe there's a standby angel. Oh, thank you, Lord. We're not alone here. That's what I'm telling you. There's a standby angel, God Almighty. If you need one, he can dispatch one to you. Whatever it is that's required in the will of God, God will see to it that it is there. We're not by ourselves. We may be social distancing, voluntarily quarantined in our homes. There may be some of you, as you're watching this right now, there's nobody but you in that house. Let me tell you this morning, you're not alone. You're not by yourself. You're there in the presence of God. There's no distance in prayer. Before I ever climbed up here, I was praying this morning, Lord, let people understand. Let them feel it. Let them experience it. That there's no distance in prayer. Hallelujah. You can worship him where you are. You can give him praise where you stand, where you sit this morning. I believe all this is going to come to an end. We're all going to be back in this house worshiping him, praising him. But wherever I am today, I am the church of the living God. Wherever I am today, Christ lives in me. The ability to worship him does not depend on where I am. It depends on what God has placed inside of me. Paul stood up on board a floundering ship and he said, in essence, look, fellas, this is not going to be easy. This is not going to be easy. But we're going to make it. Thank you, Jesus. I want to say that to everybody that's in this building this morning, all of you that are listening to me on the internet. This may not be easy, but by the grace of God, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Paul's words ring true for us today. They're very simple, but very profound. Man of God declared, I believe God. Thank you, Lord. I believe God. Now that has to be the words of the church in this hour, in the middle of this storm. That has to be what you and I say. We believe God. Well, what about the latest report? We believe God. What about the latest thing the head doctor said? We'll take it into consideration. We appreciate what they're doing, but we believe God. We believe God. Oh, yes, sir. What about coronavirus? We believe God. What about the damage to the economy? We believe God. See, most of us in this part of the world, many of us at least, we know what it is to go through some lean times. We know what it is to face some hard times. We know what it is when you can't have everything you want when you want it. But we also know what it is when God Almighty meets every need and supplies and puts food on the table. Amen. Peace in the heart, joy in the spirit, a song in our mouths. Praise, thanks be to God. I'm just telling you, sir, we believe God because we can believe God. This God is believable. This God can be trusted. This God can be leaned on hard. This God can be depended on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What about the damage to the economy? It changes nothing. The cry of the church is, we believe God. What if I get sick? Changes nothing about the faith of God in us. We believe God. What if somebody that I love contracts the virus? We believe God. This is the hour for us, we as the church, to stand up and tell a world, I believe it's going to be just like God told me. This world, like Paul, his shipmates, the things cratering, the things rocking to and fro, and the world doesn't know what to do. But we're there. Hallelujah. And if there's one child of God on board the boat, then that means Jesus is there. Just one of us. Just one. There were hundreds on that boat with Paul. But because he was there, Christ was there. You understand what I'm telling you? If just one of us lives during these days, that means Christ is here. If just one of us, oh yes, sir, all you have to do to know that Abraham really lived is just meet one Jewish man or woman. Just meet one of Abraham's kids, and that'll be enough to tell you there was an Abraham. Oh, listen, world, all you got to do to know this thing is real is just meet a real Christian that has peace in his heart, joy in his heart, that's not losing his mind over everything that's going on. He can say to you, I believe God. I believe God. I trust God. Amen. There was so much in these words. Paul was saying, I believe God. What does it mean, Pastor? It means he said, I believe that God is working even now. Oh, church, that's what we've got to know. When Paul is there, that boat's going down. The whole thing's going to be a wreck. But he's saying, I believe God. I know that God is working. I know that the fingerprints of God are here, even on board a sinking ship. I believe God is preparing me here even now. That's what we've got to know. God Almighty is working in all of about this. Amen. The harvest of this earth is come. Oh, I believe we are that critical generation. I believe we are here in the will of God at the closing of all of this, sir. I believe God. Amen. I said, I believe God, and we must know, we must have, we must walk out this faith we say we have. God's at work here on a ship that's reeling and rocking. God's at work in an hour when men and women don't know what to do. God's at work when some are succumbing to fear and giving in to the torment and the stress and the anxiety of this day. God Almighty is at work, and He's preparing you and He's preparing me. See, Paul was going to go to Rome, but he's going to go there in chains. He's going to fulfill the will of God for him. If you're a child of God, that's what everything's about for you, the will of God. And the will of God was, Paul, you're going to Rome, but you're going as a prisoner. Might not look how he envisioned it would, but God was with him. God was with him. See, Paul's Roman ministry would be the finale for him. And I believe we're in the days, as I said, of the final harvest before the coming of the Lord. So we who can hear God, God Almighty, has allowed everything to be shut down. So we'll listen to him. The greatest blessing you have today, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church, that's the greatest blessing in your life. It's more valuable to you than all of the material possessions you might hold in this moment. That you can hear from God. That God can talk to you. That you can be stirred is a treasure of treasures in this moment of time. And God Almighty has allowed everything to come to a halt so that those who can hear him will listen to him. What's he telling you? What's God saying to you? What's God saying to you about where you are in this moment? I want you to understand, and I'm not trying to nitpick on things or to be facetious or anything of the kind. But this, however long this deal's going to last, however long this shutdown is going to be, folks, we've got to get our mind right about this. This is not just a vacation. We've not just extended spring break here. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You enjoying your family, enjoying your time, get closer to your family during these days. Nothing wrong with it. But understand, that isn't what heaven is trying to do, at least not the only thing that heaven's trying to do in allowing all of this. This is a shutdown of earthly things. We have witnessed the gods of this age begin to crumble. Now, we who know God, we recognized the falsity of their claims. Men and women in the United States of America have worshiped the dollar for a long time. And men and women, families in this country have worshiped athletics and sports at the expense of the things of God. We've witnessed that. It's made terrible inroads in the church. Church becomes the thing that is most easily parted with or most easily missed. We see that in our society. But we've witnessed over the last month or so, 2 weeks to a month, how all of those things that were so prized have been shut down. Major sporting events shut down. The economy in a state of free fall. There are some men and some women who worship their careers, their whole life is about what they do when they get up in the morning till 5 o'clock at night, or however long it lasts, however long their day lasts. Their whole life is about what they do. If they could not do what they do, their vocation, their career, then they would lose their identity. I want you to understand that is not the will of God. That is not the will of God for me, for you, for any of us. My identity is not what these hands find to do. My identity is who I am in Him. There's going to come a day when you can't do the things that you always do. There's going to come a moment, if God lets you live on this earth, when the ability to do that that's become your identity leaves you. You no longer have that identity. It's got to be grounded in something other than the things you find to do. And so all of this has come to a screeching halt. And here we stand. Here we stand. You and God, me and God, God and I, here we stand. We're like Habakkuk in the Bible. I'm going to go up to that high place, and I'm going to watch and hear what God is going to say to me. See, I don't believe we're in a time of separation from God during all this. I believe that we're in a time when God is drawing nearer to us and drawing us nearer to Himself. The question is, can we say, like Paul did, I believe God. I believe God. Can you say it? He had staked everything on Christ. This is a man totally given. And because he was totally given, he knew that he was totally kept by the hand of the Lord. He had confidence in God. Whatever state he found himself in, even in a sinking ship, in the midst of a storm, he was in Christ, and all was well. Everything was fine. He could say, I believe God. That means I'm persuaded of him. I have confidence in him. Confidence in him. Did you know a person's word is only as good as they are? A man's word is only as good as his character. Well, if that's the case, if that applies to God, then we're in very good shape indeed. God's word is as sure as he is, and he's very sure. He's not going anywhere. Hallelujah. I believe God. That means I'm trusting in him. I'm running to Jesus. Well, now, Pastor, I can't even leave my house. I'm quarantined here in my house, social distancing here in my house. I can't go anywhere but to get essential things should I need them. Find your prayer closet and run to Jesus. Separate yourself from everything but him in the moments of the day. Find your place. In other words, find you some holy ground, because that is trust. That is trust. I believe God. I'm closing here. This is reliance upon God. In this hour, lean hard on the Lord Jesus. He can take it. If you're worried, cast all of your anxious care upon him, for he careth for you. If this stresses you out, if you feel this in the air and it stresses you out, if you hear it on the news and it stresses you out, take it to Jesus. Take it to Christ and believe God. Reliance, not just words, but looking unto Jesus, coming unto Jesus, considering Jesus. Oh, church, this morning, I'm glad in all of this. I've got Jesus. I've got Jesus. What Paul say? I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. In other words, the word that I receive from heaven is true. It's going to pan out just like God told me. Now, I want you to understand, folks, please. Our particular storm here is not going to force God to do a quick edit to his promises. None of this is going to change anything he told us. I believe God that it's going to be exactly as he told me. What's he telling you? What's he saying to you? Find out. Get in his word. Draw close to him. Take this time to draw close to him. Find out what God's saying to you, because you're not alone. Church, we've got to be able to say to a world that doesn't know, we've got to be able to tell men and women, I believe God, and it's going to be exactly as he told me. Hallelujah. Right there where you are, just begin to worship him. Begin to worship him and praise him and give him glory. Father, oh, we thank you. Lord, we honor you. Jesus, we give you praise. We give you glory this morning. I thank you for this word. I thank you for your presence that we have felt in this house. That I know that presence has gone to where folks are in this moment. Lord, let us be able to say it. We believe God. We believe it'll be just like he told us. God Almighty, in this moment, it's not a moment for playing games. It's a moment to draw near. It's a moment to come closer. It's a moment to hear from God, to receive from heaven. But I want to thank you, Lord, that we're not alone. Hallelujah! We're not alone. My God, in an hour when social distancing is what many of us are doing, there's no distance between ourselves and you. You are here. Hallelujah. Wherever we're gathered in your name, you're in the midst of us. Oh, be in the midst. Be in the midst. Be in the midst. And let us say, I believe God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for joining us on this live stream. We want you to know how much we love you, how much we're praying for you, and believe in God to keep you and your family. If you need us, contact us. We want to serve you. It's always our honor to serve you. And we keep your name before the Lord in prayer. Believe in God. Some of you watching this, you're recovering from sickness. You're recovering from surgeries. We are calling on God for you, that the Lord will bring you totally through and restore. And I believe, folks, you that are worried about the economy, you that are worried about your future, oh, I believe that our God is in the restoration business. You've been faithful to put him first in your tithe, in your business, in your income. I believe God's going to keep you. I believe God's going to bring you out. Hallelujah. We love you. God bless you today.